The World Blind Union is the international organization speaking on behalf of the blind of the world. We are a member of it. I said yesterday in the presidential report that we get advantages from it, and we do. Some people in the World Blind Union have sometimes expressed the view that in the United States all of us are rich, and consequently, they're not rich and they'd like us to hand over the money. This message doesn't go down well, as you know. If you're going to participate, it has to be useful from both sides. And we do participate, and it is useful to us. We learn things we didn't know, and we find a way to make friendships around the world and to get action in joint activities around the world. I have met with some people from other countries beyond the United States at this convention, and we've made some plans to do some joint efforts already during the course of the convention. So far, I haven't worked out any joint plans with Marianne Diamond, but we're going to hear from her in a minute. The World Blind Union came into being in 1984. It was a combination of two organizations that preceded it, the World Council for the Welfare of the Blind and the International Federation of the Blind. The World Council for the Welfare of the Blind was an organization of agencies for the blind that was established in 1949. The International Federation of the Blind was an organization of organizations of the blind that was established in 1964. Dr. Tenbrook was its first president. The combination of organizations of the blind and organizations for the blind has sometimes meant that the World Blind Union has not been certain of what it was doing. However, in the last 10 years, the emphasis has shifted. The World Blind Union has come to be an advocate for and a voice for the blind of the world. Marianne Diamond is from Australia. She came to be a part of the World Blind Union about 9 years ago. She has been an advocate for the blind, which suits admirably the need of the World Blind Union for a leader. She, although she was reasonably recently a member of the organization, demanded attention for the programs she wanted to pursue, insisted that the countries of the world recognize her leadership, and she has come a year ago in Geneva to be elected to the presidency of the Union. She comes from, as I say, a background of advocacy. We have much sympathy for this thought because that's what we do. Sometimes we create program, but more often than not, we serve as a check and a watchdog for others, the role of an advocate. Because of her leadership, because of her presence, because of the inspiring standard she represents, it is a pleasure for me to introduce to you a lady from Melbourne, Australia, the president of the World Blind Union, Marianne Diamond.
Thank you, Dr. Mara, for that very generous introduction. It is my great pleasure to be here today and to speak at one of the largest gatherings of people who are blind around the world. The National Federation of the Blind has been a leading organization in the work of the World Blind Union since our formation, and we are grateful for that continuing involvement. It has been the tradition over many years now that the President of the World Blind Union has been invited to address a convention of NFB. We're just adjusting the microphones because I'm shorter than Mark. During them time, I appreciate being able to continue this tradition this year. I'd like to talk to you about three things today. My personal journey as a blind person, about the World Blind Union, and finally, what I hope the World Blind Union will achieve under my leadership. 20 years ago, almost to the day, along with my husband and then three children, aged 4, 2, and 3 months, I arrived in Madison, Wisconsin, where we would live for a year. That was an amazing experience for me and one which was repeated in 1995. I could not imagine the path my life would take in the years to follow. I feel it's like coming home to be so close to a place I grew to love. However, I must tell you, I never grew to love the cold. And I decided that in Australia, there is nowhere that's cold after that experience. I said I'd tell you a little about my journey. I have been blind since birth and am the parent of a son who has very low vision. For most of my education, I attended a residential school for children who were blind. As a child, I was blessed with parents who always had high expectations of me. I was expected and allowed to do everything my brothers and sisters did. My parents strongly supported and encouraged my education. I think they thought that a good education would enhance my chances of finding a husband. Whatever their motives, it all worked in my favour. After leaving school, I studied for a Bachelor of Science degree at university, majoring in mathematical statistics, before undertaking a graduate diploma in information technology. I then was employed in the information technology industry for many years in a range of roles and organisations. During that time, I married, had 4 children, and lived here in the US twice with my family. In late 1998, I took up a position as an advocate with Blind Citizens Australia, the recognised representative organisation of blind people in my country. By mid-2000, I was appointed their executive officer and responsible for the oversight of the World Blind Union's 5th General Assembly. Between 2004 and 2007, I was the inaugural CEO of the Australian Federation of Disability Organisations, the peak body of state and national organisations of people with disability in Australia. I'm currently employed as General Manager, International and Stakeholder Relations with Vision Australia, and that's the organisation in our country, the largest organisation providing services to people who are blind. Throughout this time, as Mark said, over the last 9 years, I have been actively involved in the World Blind Union, the organisation representing the estimated 161 million people who are blind or have low vision. Following the General Assembly held in Melbourne during 2000, I joined the Women's Committee as the chair, going on to become the first Vice President in 2004, and as you have heard, in 2008, I became the 7th President of the World Blind Union. But that's enough about me. I'd like to tell you a little about the World Blind Union. As you've just heard, the World Blind Union was formed in 1984 through the union of the International Federation of the Blind and the World Council for the Welfare of the Blind. However, the World Blind Union represents over a century of global cooperation on blindness issues, dating back to the first international conference on this subject in 1873, held in Vienna. The leadership of the World Blind Union and the development of its constitution had one of its achievements to date has been the provision of a forum by which blind people established the right to speak for ourselves. The World Blind Union was established as a worldwide movement that incorporated the WCWB and IFB, but remained flexible in its approach to embrace the wide range of realities in the world. The World Blind Union established a requirement that the majority of national delegates must come from recognised movements of blind people. It is significant to highlight that when the World Blind Union was established in 1984, it had around 60 countries as members, The current membership totals more than 175 countries, which is very close to the United Nations membership. The World Blind Union quickly became a powerful voice in the worldwide disability movement. It adopted in its work in the use of three languages, English, French, and Spanish. It was able to reinforce the activities of its six regional unions and soon became the voice of the blind throughout the world. And this was undertaken by working with the United Nations, international agencies, other groups of people with disability, and organisations in the international social development field. The World Blind Union provides a forum for exchange of views and experience, an advocacy body, as we've heard. It also provides a unique partnership of organisations of the blind and organisations providing services to people who are blind or partially sighted, joining together and working for a common purpose. Many individuals ask the question, why do we need a World Blind Union? And why should we support it when there is so much to do at home to improve the situation for people who are blind? Of course, the need of local programs and involvements will always be great. However, I believe that the work of our local and national organisations can be strengthened through our efforts at the international level. While some issues are local by nature, such as access to transportation systems, access to education and healthcare, other issues have a much broader reach, and we have more opportunities for impact by taking a global approach. And the ability to make change at both the local and global level simultaneously, I believe, is very powerful. Let us take the example we heard yesterday of the development of household products, particularly in regard to accessibility. In many cases, these are developed by multinational organisations. There is much to do at the international level to ensure accessibility is built into the design stage of these products rather than adding it on later. That is one of the initiatives our current technology working group is addressing. We often hear the figure that 95% of printed material is not accessible to us as blind person. The World Blind Union launched the Right to Read campaign in 2008 as a measure to address this situation. In partnership with other organisations, the World Blind Union has taken a lead role in advocating with the World Intellectual Property Organisation, WIPO, to adopt a treaty which would dramatically improve access to the printed word. A number of our members from many countries have been involved in this effort. Negotiations with country delegations are ongoing. As I understand, we do not yet have the support of the United States or of the European Union, but we'll be working hard to change this as the next meeting is in November this year. You may wonder why this is so important to us, since many countries, including the United States, already have copyright exemption legislation in place that permits the production of materials in accessible formats. The most important outcome is that, if successful, we should be able to share accessible books across borders. For example, instead of Australia, United Kingdom, and United States each producing an accessible version of a latest Harry Potter book, we could have three different books produced and all share them. The ability to share materials across country borders would also assist in another one of our goals, and that's literacy, making literacy available to the millions of blind people in developing countries who presently have almost no access to the printed material. And I'd like to take this opportunity to congratulate NFB on the commemorative coin minted to celebrate 2009 and your plans for promotion of Braille literacy. The World Blind Union also played a leadership role in the development on the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability, the CRPD. Our input ensured that the concerns of people who are blind were taken into consideration in each article. As an example, we ensured that Braille was mentioned specifically several times throughout the treaty, giving formal recognition to the importance of Braille in communications and literacy. We had involvement in the development of this convention as an international NGO, and as blind persons, we were also well represented by a number of people who served as members of their country delegations. And I believe that many of you met a friend and colleague of mine from Australia, Graeme Innes, last year, who was one of these persons. Our challenge now is to work with our members, assisting them to advocate for ratification of the convention in their by their governments, and then for its implementation and monitoring. It is interesting to note that the monitoring committee established for this convention has five blind members out of a 12-member committee. I believe that one of the major achievements of the last term of the World Blind Union was the establishment of a permanent headquarters. I had the privilege to lead the project which achieved this. In March 2006 in Baltimore, the executive unanimously agreed to move forward and approved the business plan to establish the office. NFB was one of the first organisations to pledge financial support for a period of 5 years and is recognised as a platinum sponsor of the World Blind Union. And I'd like to thank NFB for their very generous support throughout that process as we identified the location and appointed our first CEO. For those of you who are not aware, the office of the World Blind Union is located at the CNIB building in Toronto, and Penny Harton is our CEO. I said I'd talk a bit about what I hope to achieve during this term. In December 2008, the World Blind Union officers, along with key resource persons, met in the United Kingdom to develop a strategic plan for the term. We started with the plan 2005 to 2008. We reviewed resolutions adopted at all past General Assemblies, work which was already in progress from the previous terms, and issues brought to our attention from a range of sources which would impact on the lives of people who are blind in the coming years. We adopted a pyramid vision structure which reflects our vision for what we hope to achieve within a 20-year timeframe, as well as our vision for this strategic planning cycle, which is 4 years. Our long-term 20-year vision is a community where people who are blind and partially sighted are empowered to participate on an equal basis in any aspect of life they choose. Our short-term 4-year vision has three ladders that together will move us towards the realisation of our long-term vision. These ladders are that the World Blind Union is recognised as the authentic voice representing people who are blind and partially sighted at the international level. That our members at all levels have the capacity and capability to deliver their programs. And that the World Blind Union is recognised as an international source of information on matters relating to blindness. The plan consists of three strategic priorities and one enabling priority. The first priority area is representation, promoting full participation and equal opportunities for blind and partially sighted persons in all aspects of social, economic, political, and cultural life. This priority includes three specific objectives. They include improving accessibility, particularly in the areas of access to information, mobility and transport, and technology. They also include our work with the United Nations and its agencies and advocating for human rights of blind and partially sighted persons. Our second priority area is capacity building, strengthening the capabilities and capacities of the World Blind Union regional structure and member organisations. This priority has five objectives, which include improving employment opportunities for blind and partially sighted persons, an objective for which I have personally assumed a leadership role. Another objective includes capacity building of our members, strengthening of the World Braille Council, ensuring that our target populations are included in all our work, and supporting our members with the ratification and implementation of the CRPD. Our third priority area is information sharing, serving as an international information and resource centre on matters in respect of blind and partially sighted persons. This priority includes initiatives to develop our capacity as a source of information to our members and others, improving our ability to include members from other language groups, and developing our international partnerships. Our enabling priority is to have an effective organisation, ensuring the relevance, effectiveness, efficiency, and sustainability of the World Blind Union. This priority includes initiatives to strengthen and support our membership, as well as initiatives to ensure that we are well managed and raise and manage funds that we require in order to do our work. Our strategic, manage and report against our strategic plan, we have developed a detailed work plan which specifies a whole list of activities, timeframes, responsible persons, and indicators to measure our success for each objective. Each of the table officers is responsible for leading a priority area. We report against our plan at each officers' meeting held twice each year, and I believe that by working this way, we will be in a position to clearly articulate our success, where we have not achieved our plans and why, when we face the next General Assembly in 2012. Finally, I want to talk a little about what I personally would like to achieve during the term I am President. When putting myself forward as a candidate for the position of President last year, I said I would like to see a World Blind Union as an organisation that people who are blind or have low vision are proud to be associated with, have confidence that it represents their interests, and have opportunities to make a contribution to the work at the national and regional levels. Recognised as the representative voice of people who are blind or have low vision when dealing with international bodies such as the United Nations. Provides opportunities for organisations, groups and individuals to come together and work collaboratively on issues that will benefit people who are blind. Providing opportunities for organisations, groups and individuals to share experiences, resources and skills to achieve a world where people who are blind or have low vision can have every opportunity to fully participate in whatever community they choose. A global information resource and referral centre and a working partner with organisations within the blindness sector as well as outside to ensure our needs as blind people are built into any of their plans. The ambitious plan that we have developed, the breadth of experience and skills of our team, and the extensive networks that we have and continue to build will result in the kind of World Blind Union I envisage. At the end of my term, if we have put in place the means to ensure that we have a sustainable and effective ongoing organisation, if we have been able to achieve something, anything which will assist people who are blind find and remain in work, and if we can identify our future leaders and have begun the work to replace ourselves with these people, then I will feel that I have made a contribution to the blind of the world. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary Ann.
I hope that was okay.
That was great.